Over the hills, a state of mind inside your head. The first chapter is over. Now I'm going strong. I'm so ready for what's next, so bring it on. Yeah, here's the
beautiful. What we're doing is we're profiling people who made it later in life, like over 40, right? Mm-hmm. And so this we're looking at Mr. Steve Carell.
Can you tell me why, though? Why are we looking at these people's lives after 40? Why does that matter?
Because most people get to this age and they feel like, oh my God, it's too late for me. I should just give up and be old and gross. But no, it's a lot of these people's careers start at 40 and they have like a thriving career throughout the rest of their years.
Yeah, and it's easy to look at these lives and be like, well, that's really great for them. But I think there's some principles that we can learn and apply to our own life. So we're going to do our best to pull this apart. But I think you had a pretty interesting structure that you came up with. It involves breaking. What's that, Rory?
I feel it. Well, first of all, like, if you don't know who Steve Carell is, he's basically, you might recognize him from Michael Scott, from The Office, or like the Oscar nominee from all the movies he's done. I think he broke a 40-year-old virgin. And he all of this like happened after 40. Do you know what I mean? So Steve Carell has had like a long career since then, but it all started from humble beginnings. We're not going to go into his childhood. We're going to go into like the early training, like his like into college, for example. He had to develop communication skills, right? So he was a disc jockey. His name was Disco Steve. No, was it? What the hell was it? It was Sapphire Steve. Disco Steve. Steve Carell. Yeah, and then from there he went into like a children's theater company, and he did like a Brown's Chicken commercial and stuff like that. No one would have known who the hell he was. You've done commercials. I've done commercials. No one knows who the hell we are. But this is all like humble beginnings. These are the things you got to do to kind of, you know, get your legs beneath you.
Right. And that's the thing is we talk about breaking in at 40 or whatever. They don't see that there's been like 20 plus years sometimes of just the day in and day out grind. And some people never have that, quote, big break that they're looking for. But to what you just mentioned, I think a takeaway from that is just not to shy away from small roles. Sometimes we come out of the gate with a lot of ego, right? Like we want to be seen in a certain way. And so we'll turn down the small roles waiting to be discovered without realizing that sometimes that's just a part of the process. You got to suck up your pride.
That's right. Probably his natural comedic chops, but he developed it through Second City, which is like a sketch comedy troupe kind of thing. And from there, he hit the Dana Carvey show, which he, you know, played small roles on. And, you know, he's getting up there. He's getting into his networking. He's getting into the whole field, right?
Yeah, and I think the cool thing about that is not just like the ego, this is the grind, this is the process, but also if you're a student, you're going to learn skill sets there that's going to be transferable. You talk about this all the time later on down the road that might not even, you might not make sense in the moment learning it, but it'll material for you later. So who knows some of these small people, who knows some of these small roles and these relationships that he had back then that he's using now as like inspiration in his content, or maybe a little small thing that his coach taught him that he's now using. So again, it's a slow process and I'm the most impatient person you'll ever meet, but training matters.
Well, the moral of that story is he's not just like auditioning for roles without any sort of training. Like he's in
right.
The process, he's in the energy, he's absorbing all the stuff that's coming at him, right? So he's actually, although he's a nobody still, he's still trying to get there.
My agent, she said something along the lines of, you know, her seeing us in training is just huge for her, whether we're booking stuff or not, because it's showing our dedication. And I don't know what it's like in Canada, but here in the States, you know, college is a lot of times just seems completely irrelevant with a lot of jobs. And usually it's just kind of a symbol of, hey, you did the work to do something, whether you agree with that or not. Sometimes just putting in the reps shows your dedication more than anything. And people think, oh, I don't need that. But it just represents something. It means you're serious.
I agree with that completely. Like it's, no one looks at your grades. People get obsessed with grades in college. It's like, oh, I don't have straight A's. I'm not going to get this, that, and the other thing. Well, no one cares. As long as you have the piece of paper, it shows that you can show up, do the job, and you're somewhat consistent and dedicated to whatever it is you're working on.
Before we get to his big break, was there anything from this part that you kind of took out that you thought was a learning spot for you?
One thing always leads to the next thing. So he did the Second City. From there, he got a Dana Carvey show. From there, you know, that's kind of a troupe thing. So he's one of like, you know, 10 or 12 cast members. And then he gets the Daily Show, which is, now he's a correspondent. He's now Steve Carell as opposed to Steve part of, you know, 12 people kind of thing. So now he's kind of creating his own little thing here.
Yeah, think about all the relationships that you're building in that way. I mean, I don't know about you, but almost everything that I've done that's been cool has come from a relationship or come from work that I've put out, either work that I've put out already or a relationship that I've built. It's like never been like somebody just comes to me and like, hey, I like you for zero reason. I'm going to give you an opportunity. It's, hey, I saw this piece of work that you did, or I know someone who you know, and I'm going to trust you with this. And so while he's doing this, he's also building relationships that gave him bigger opportunities later.
Not only that, he's developing his like signature character. So like the guy he plays on the correspondent on the Daily Show or whatever is just this like this ignorant person who doesn't know. He's like a bumbling idiot kind of thing, right? He just doesn't know his surroundings or whatever. And that's his signature role in like every other role he's played until he became a movie star, and now he's in serious roles. But in The Office, 40-year-old virgin, he's still that guy. So he's developing that even in his early years.
Well, bring me back to that. This is the big break moment with all this hard work and dedication. Eventually, he does get that big break. What was he, 41, I think, when The Office came around? Or am I wrong on that?
41, they did Office. The British Office was a big show, and they were doing a remake in the United States. And I think they had someone else cast for the role. I forget who it was at the moment, but inevitably they replaced him with Steve Carell, and would it play like 8 seasons or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I think in the first season, he looks older than he does in the later season. So he actually starts like getting in better shape and start looking better and really coming into his own. And by this time, he's in his mid late 40s. So he had his big break at early 40, but I feel like he just got better and better like the older that he got, which was super encouraging for me.
I think there was a couple of backwards things with that because it was the first 2 seasons of The Office. Everyone would right across the board say are not as good as the rest. But I think after season two was when he got 40-year-old virgin, which we could call like his big break. The popularity of that movie made him a movie star. And now people started gravitating to The Office. Like, who the hell is this guy? And so they started watching. And that's when The Office blew up. Yeah. So they kind of worked hand in hand. Almost the same character, arguably. So just one kind of washed the other, I guess.
Yeah, that's when he got 40-year-old virgin, that's when, I don't know if you listen, well, I know you don't because you don't watch The Office, but the podcast, The Office Ladies, they talked about how, you know, everybody was kind of becoming micro-famous. The Office was taking off, but he became really famous. It was like a household name with that movie, which kind of elevated the rest of the cast and the show, too, with that. I think, and we've covered him before and we've looked at his life, I had down here that he had really great relationships with people in the industry, and everybody was rooting for him. If you listen to anyone who's ever worked with him, they wanted to see this man win. So through all this patience, through all this work, through all the perseverance, you know, you can become like some bitter old ass person. It's like, my break's never going to come, blah, 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 blah. I'm old now, blah, 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 blah. But he kept this demeanor that was just genuine and kind, and people wanted him to win. And again, I can't point that that's the reason that he succeeded, but I think it's cool when you can get to that point and not burn a bunch of bridges.
Totally. And so once the success of that came, he didn't really stop growing as an artist. He didn't rest on his laurels. He didn't do like season of The Office number 35 or whatever. He decided, I'm going to go into movies. And then in movies, he did multiple different, he did comedy, you know, he did animated, he did like the Despicable Me things. He did, you know, dramatic roles. He won Golden Globe. So he's still growing, even though he's, what is he, 60 now? I don't know.
Yeah. And still cute as can be. Now he's like spiking his hair and it's all silver and he just has this awesome laugh. I think the takeaway for me, just freaking be patient. Success doesn't come overnight. Keep a good freaking attitude during the whole thing. You never know when something's going to turn to something else. And into with all these folks, if you don't make it, are you okay with that? Because I guarantee you there's a lot of people like him who did all these things we talked about and they didn't, quote, ever get their big break. But are you happy or are you enjoying it? Because that's the most important part.
Totally. But if you get into something because you want some sort of extrinsic reward, like money or whatever, there's way easier ways to make money. You know, a career of acting is necessarily what you want to do if riches are your primary motive.
Preach. Are you still anti The Office? Last time I talked to you, you weren't into it.
I was never anti The Office. I just didn't have time to watch The Office. And so when I'm on airplanes, I watch The Office, but I don't fly enough to absorb the entire thing.
Is it your kind of humor, though? Do you think it's funny? We can continue.
Other than Michael Scott, who's your favorite character?
That's almost impossible. That is, Michael Scott's definitely my favorite. Probably Dwight.
So I listened to an interview with Rainn Wilson. And he talks about the struggle he went through. I realize we're on a tangent here. But what you just spoke about, which is like, he got The Office and he's like, oh my God, I should be happy now. Because like, all he wanted to do was be on this popular TV show, and he wasn't happy. He's like, all right, because now I want to be in movies. And then his, you know, there was one movie break flopped, and he was like depressed. But he still had all this success and all this stuff that folks like you and I would be grateful to have. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't realize it at the time. He's come around now, and he's obviously developing all this sort of stuff on other podcasts. But it's fun to see that even at levels that they get to, like, they're still self-defeating.
We might have to cover him later and break our rule. I mean, he was in his mid-30s, late-30s, I think, when he broke into The Office. But another great example. Listen, y'all, we want to know if you enjoyed this, if this is encouraging to you. We hope that it is. So you can find us over on Instagram. The link is in the show notes, where you give us some feedback, maybe somebody you would like us to cover in the future. But that's it. We'll be here next time, I think, somewhere with something. Next time we'll be talking about the life cycle of squirrels.
That's a niche podcast for sure.